Talks to end the US-China trade war will resume next week. The trade tensions have spilled over into the technology sector, with US firms under pressure to shift their businesses back to the US, while Chinese tech giant Huawei also bears the brunt. Where do these geopolitical tensions leave the fourth industrial revolution, and more especially, South Africa's place in it? The country will be hosting its first fourth industrial revolution digital economy summit, which kicks off tomorrow, where these issues will be tackled by George Friedman, founder of Geopolitical Futures. He joins us with his analysis now. Thanks so much, George, for your time this evening. So how much of a curveball does the potential trade war between the China and the US present for an economy like South Africa and its aims to stimulate and curate a coherent national action plan that galvanizes the fourth industrial revolution?
Well, first, remember where China came from. In the 1970s, it was a catastrophe. The Cultural Revolution had taken place. Poverty was widespread. They began not by technology, but by cheap products, flooding the world with cheap products. They were an exporting country. As they developed, the price of labor went up. They weren't so cheap. And there was competition from other countries. And the United States demanded access to Chinese economy on the same terms. The Chinese tried to solve the problem by going not to the fourth industrial revolution, but to the third, to work on the microchip-based economy. And in this, they collide, not just with the United States, but with Germany, with Japan, and so on and so forth. These are economies that have been doing this for 20, 30 years. And so what we're seeing here is China scrambling for a solution. And what this means to South Africa is South Africa has two advantages. A very educated elite, but also, like the Chinese or the Japanese or even the Americans back in the 19th century, low-wage earners who are able to organize and be organized into becoming a major export power. There's always a low-cost, low-price exporting power. And it was China, it no longer is. It was Japan, it no longer is. This is one opportunity China has, South Africa has, I'm sorry. But at the same time, you have the other opportunity of looking at what the fourth is like. But when nobody really knows what the fourth is like. Mm-hmm. We know that the third is coming to maturity, but what will the fourth be like? This is what we'll be discussing. But for South Africa, it's not one or the other, it's both.
It's both, but if we have to be frank about it, is South Africa ready to leverage off that potential opportunity? Because you talk of the stride an economy like China has made, you know, through the various eras. How are you rating the kind of progress South Africa is making when it comes to dialogue around the fourth industrial revolution?
Well, dialogue is wonderful. How are they doing in getting anywhere? And the answer is the Chinese began working very slowly 20 years ago on the third generation, on the microchip, on the computers. And they're now ready to begin competing. They're not doing that well in competition, but they are ready. So this is the time when South Africa plans for 20 years from now. But in doing that, it must also plan for upward mobility for those who don't participate, or else you have a deep crisis, which is one that China has. China has the crisis of a very wealthy coastal region and an impoverished interior. South Africa already has this problem and must overcome it. So you look at it differently.
Absolutely. So with the two contexts simultaneously at play in South Africa, where you're looking at potential opportunity, but also a socioeconomic hot potato, and that where the implications are perceived simply as job losses, how do we start making things more palatable in a context like ours?
Well, remember, every major economy today, including the United States, began in catastrophe. The United States had the Civil War. Japan had World War II. China had Mao Zedong, right? Each of these overcame it because one of the characteristics of high growth economies is they begin badly. You look at it. And one of the great problems that South Africa really has is a lack of confidence. It sees what is now and believes there is no way to overcome it. and therefore is trapped.
It's hard to see, the longer term picture where in the run up to it, you've got a shrinking world of work that simultaneously comes into play. Do we have to brace ourselves for a rise in economic inequality?
Well, if you go ahead and simply build fourth generation things, yes. But remember, if you had looked at China in 1970s, coming out of the Civil War of the Cultural Revolution, coming from coup d'etats between the government, you would have never in your right mind have invested in, I wish I had invested in China in the 1970s. So the answer is, yes, if you only concentrate on doing high tech and you succeed, which is always a question, then you create greater inequality. Mm-hmm. If, on the other hand, you have a balanced approach of emphasizing both, then you have a real opportunity. The problem is, when you build the export market, that's not a state organization. There's not a plan for it. It's 10,000 small entrepreneurs doing this. And so you must create a policy that allows them to do that and doesn't interfere.
We've had captains of industry, the likes of Telkom CEO Sipho Maseko, hail the fourth industrial revolution as a potential economic and developmental game changer for South Africa. Our communications minister saying that it's important that people are placed in the center of the conversation as well. Taking that a step further, how do we move beyond just the societal dialogue so that these practical implications become more evident and relatable to fostering a real understanding of the concept for the man on the street?
Well, right now the concept isn't clear. In 1970, the microchip was developed, and I held in my hand a Hewlett-Packard calculator, and I said, well, this is very nice. And I never imagined what would come of it. When electricity was introduced, nobody imagined what it would do. So the nature of a new industrial revolution is it begins with something that nobody recognizes as to what it will do, and you can't fully predict what that's going to be. You can create the atmosphere in which things are tried. So for example, back in the 1970s, we were looking for cars that could also fly. This is true. It didn't work. Nobody had it. That was a concept that did not fly, so to speak. But the microchip did. So it's very hard to say what it will be. But it's very important to recognize that the microchip now is not cutting-edge technology. Mm-hmm. It is mature technology. It's been here for 50 years. It's not new. Something new is coming. How do you position yourself for that? And the answer is by being aware, being very aware that something new is coming, being aware that this is not high-tech anymore. Just like you were in the 60s aware the automobile was not high-tech. But what was coming, we didn't know.
Well, let's leave it there, George. Thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening. Of course, George Friedman is founder of Geopolitical Futures.